Today, we're joined by Kim Brown. She's serving 40 to life at Bedford Correctional Facility, and she's here to talk about her case for clemency. Kim Brown, welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Well, thank you for having me.
Just to start us off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been at Bedford, and some of your accomplishments while you've been there.
I arrived at Bedford on Halloween of 1995. I got a certificate in legal research and operating a law library. I finished my associate's degree, my bachelor's degree, and probably every anti-violence program that Bedford Hills offered, down on violence, alternatives to violence, anger replacement training, they were life-changing for me, because what they did was they showed me why I was angry. They showed me what things made me angry, and they gave me an opportunity to stop and see the things that triggered me. Like, I didn't even know that those things were happening in me. And as a result of them, I got in one-on-one counseling in the Office of Mental Health, which opened up a whole nother door, because I discovered that I was angry, but I didn't know why. Through mental health work, I discovered that it was all a result of my childhood, you know, things that I had experienced in my formative years. It kind of came full circle, but it would never have happened had I not been required to take these classes. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Kim. How long have you been in Bedford now?
25 years.
25 years. And you currently have an application in for clemency, although for this year, Governor Andrew Cuomo has granted his 7 commutations, which is not very many. Can you tell us about your case for clemency?
Well, I originally filed in 2015, and I received a letter from the Executive Clemency Bureau that said basically that the applications, they would try to answer them in the order in which they were received. And in 2019, while I was waiting, a woman that lived a few doors down from me was granted and released. And when I asked her when she applied, she said in 2018, and I couldn't understand why she would be released in 2019 when my application was in 2015. So an organization, Sisters Healing Old Wounds, was helping me, and Prison Legal Services. Between the two of them, they discovered that my application from 2015 had been denied in 2017, but I wasn't notified. So I put in another application in 2019. The governor has the power to offer clemency, and so that it's not given at Christmas doesn't mean that it's denied completely. It just could mean that he's going to do it at another time. And hopefully that's the case.
And Kim Brown, what do you most look forward to doing upon your release from Bedford?
I hope that it's snowing, because the very first thing I want to do is go and shovel the snow off of my mom's car. I know that probably sounds very strange, but yeah, I want to shovel the snow from my mom's car.
Can you talk a little bit about your mom?
My mom is 81 years old, and I watched her grow old in the visiting room. She's not able to get around as much as she used to. I used to see her every week, and then every week turned into every 2 weeks, and then once a month, and now I haven't seen her since September. It's difficult. I think that's probably the hardest part of this, especially when things are denied. Like, I filed a 440 motion, and it was denied in March. And the hardest part is telling my mom that this was not successful, and I'm not coming home. I'm still not coming home. I'm trying not to cry.
do you still talk to your mom on the phone?
I do.
And what is that relationship like? What would it be like to be with her now after all these years?
We've become friends since I've been incarcerated. As a child, we had a very different kind of relationship because my mom comes from a generation that the Bible was the only child-rearing book they had. And the Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. So I grew up in a very abusive household. And when I was finally able to get away, you know, I said I would never go back. But what was interesting is that I got out of an abusive childhood household to be in other abusive relationships that I didn't even recognize as abuse, because I only recognize abuse as being physical, as being beaten. And because I wasn't being beaten, I didn't think that I was being abused. But I was being abused in other ways. I was being abused sexually. I was being abused mentally. I was even abused financially at one point. So I discovered those things in therapy.
Kim Brown, thank you for sharing this with us today on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I imagine it's not easy to revisit these things. How do people in Bedford see you today?
You said about it being difficult for me to talk about. It is at times difficult for me to talk about, but I so want my story to be able to help other people. And so if any of my story is able to help just one person, one young person, not have to experience what I experienced, then it's all worth it. And the main thing I would like for a young person to know that is that you don't have to keep it a secret. If something is happening, if someone is hurting you in any way, you don't have to keep it a secret. There are people out there who will help you. Okay.
Beautiful.
Thank you. And so, well, I'm a role model. They call me Miss Kim. No one calls me Kim anymore. It's funny that when they started calling me Miss Kim, I was like, I'm not old. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? And then, you know, an old-timer said, no, that's not a sign of old. It's a sign of respect, so embrace it. And so I have. It's funny that there are some people who, they call me Mom, they call me Auntie. And when other people are not able to reach them, I am. And I think that is a blessing.
Well, sorry for the disrespect, Miss Kim. I will not call you by your complete name now and appropriately call you by the name that you have earned and deserve. Miss Kim, as we wrap up here, you own up to the crime that you committed back in the 90s. I was wondering if you have a message for the victim's family.
I took full responsibility for what I did at the moment that I did it. I called the police myself and I waited for them to come. During trial, I told them what happened. But today, I look at it completely different. Like, at trial, I thought about, you know, it was a fight that got completely out of hand. There were firearms in the house. And I did what I needed to do to get out of a dangerous situation. And, you know, over years, I discovered that, you know what, Kim? You're the one that put yourself in that situation. And if you hadn't, it wouldn't have happened. You had an opportunity to walk away, and you wanted to stand your ground. And you know what? Look at where I'm at now. And look at where the victims are now. Like, this was so unnecessary. It did not have to happen if I had just left. And that is the message that I would like for the world to know. Like, 10 seconds can ruin everything. Just walk away, and then you can always talk about it later. It doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter who's wrong. I can't control anyone but me. I can't make anyone do anything that I want them to do or stop them from doing anything that I don't want them to do. What I can do is I can leave. I can remove myself, and that's my takeaway.
Kim Brown, aka Miss Kim, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and for sharing your story with us on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you so much for having me.
This interview continues with part two, talking about COVID in Bedford Correctional Facility and Kim Brown's health. To find that interview, visit mediasanctuary.org.